You're tuned into Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. The duo Handmade Moments mixes modern folk, beatboxing, a multitude of instruments, and political commentary to make for one of the most entertaining shows you can catch when they tour through Western Colorado. Joel and Anna, who make up the band, stopped by the KVNF studios for a chat and a performance yesterday. Their music and their message are often political in nature. KVNF Public Radio is a community communications resource and dedicated to free access and open discussion. The ideas and opinions expressed during KVNF programs are those of the participants and are expressed independent of KVNF and its staff, members, and volunteers. Stay tuned for the interview, but first, here's their song, Edge of My Seat.
One, two, three. Coming my way, I wanna be the one you run to, come to when you need that love.
That is Handmade Moments, and they're here at the KVNF studios. Joel and Anna,
hi.
Passing through Paonia, lucky us. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So that's a new one called Edge of My Seat.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys always have new stuff, too. You seem like you're prolific in the amount of music you're putting out there. You guys write a lot of songs.
Yeah, we've been writing a lot of songs since, for the past 6 months. We've been based in California. We got in a crazy car wreck, and so we've had to sit down. And so that's provided a lot of opportunity to write new songs, and we want to record this year. So,
I mean, this was a really bad car accident. You were in the hospital for a month or something, Joel. Was that right?
Yeah, I was in the hospital for about a month or so, and then I was in a wheelchair for another 2 months after that. And it was 6 months ago that I got in the wreck, and then I got out of the wheelchair 3 months ago. So, yeah, we've been charging it. We're charging.
We're Power Rangers.
You are, and you were performing in your wheelchair, like, almost immediately upon being released from the hospital, it looked like to me.
Got to make that money somehow, man. Jeez Louise. Bills don't pay themselves.
It's true.
Did that whole situation change? Well, how would it not change you? I guess I'm wondering how it changed you.
I think it made me stronger and more, I think I have a lot more empathy toward people just in general, because you don't know what people are going through. And until you go through a traumatic experience or something, a big loss or something like that, I think it can be hard to see, like, oh, people might be going through that. So I think it's changed me for the better. I think I'm a stronger person, and I think I'm a hopefully I'm a nicer person. I'm trying to be more, trying to listen better and be more, you know, have more empathy towards strangers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Who did you encounter through that whole thing that sort of, I don't know, what seemed like one of those people who helped you heal? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, there were a lot of people, but...
It was amazing. We were in an amazing community. It reminds me of Paonia a little bit, a town called Nevada City, California. And it's a beautiful town where there's lots of small farmers and a lot of people, a lot of activists, a lot of environmental activists, and a lot of people out there growing organic food and organic medicine. And so I met so many wonderful people. We got a tuba, and while I was down, I used to play tuba a lot, and now I'm playing it again. So I'd say that woman was really nice. Ruth Marie mm-hmm. was one of the healing people that was like, here, play this tuba.
There was a lot of people that reached out that gave, you know, us herbal salves that they had made and teas. And, like, there's a lot of people that were really into herbalism that gave us a lot of amazing stuff that we, you know, medicines and tinctures and, yeah.
Just the whole community was, I mean, there's so many people. They were just so
nice. Energy workers and, like, massage therapists that reached out to Joel and, like, yeah, it was beautiful. Like, we were in the right place for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I saw this, I guess, a review or a description of you recently that was probably the best description I've ever read of any. Well, it's a great description of your band. So here it is. Experiencing a handmade moment show is kind of like enjoying a spoonful of political discourse wrapped in local organic bacon and deep fried in hemp oil. And it's all silky.
It's not all silky. There's some bumps along the way.
There's some bumpies.
But that's, I'm flattered by that.
That's Nick Brothers from the Free Weekly in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you guys bring the bacon? Like what part of what you do, it feels like bacon or to him, I guess.
Well,
but to me too, but I just can't put my finger on it.
It's the saltiness.
We get it from the farmer's market to start.
Yeah.
And then we fry it on Joel's chest.
Yeah. See, my chest is radiating with heat at all times. So the fact that people can feel that and taste that and hear that, I think means that I'm doing the right thing. You know, that I'm really, that my chest is just hot enough.
To fry some bacon.
To fry bacon, exactly. I think it'd be my chest. That's the bacon part.
Yeah.
The skin that we show, I think, reminds people of this raw primal hunger mm-hmm. for meat, belly meat.
And the hemp oil?
And the hemp oil, well, you know, hemp's just a good thing in general. Maybe we're good things too. I don't know.
It's just basic goodness.
It's just basic goodness.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys have a booking agent yet? I don't feel like you do.
We don't.
We're still just wandering throughout the world.
I can't believe that.
I'm the booking agent.
You know what? That kind of makes me angry a little bit, I have to admit.
We haven't tried that hard to find one either. We haven't.
But also, there's not much you can do to try to find one because they have to, like, find you, you know?
I think so.
Otherwise, you're trying to reach out to them and they're like, who is this guy? Not going to even look at that email. I don't know him.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a business, just like every other business. It's a big business, the music business. So it's one of those things to tap into it, you know.
We're going to try to get a booking agent. We're doing a thing called Folk Alliance this year, which is where folk musicians from around the country and around the world get together in Kansas City, and they all play for talent buyers and festival bookers and booking agents
mm-hmm.
and agencies. So we'll be in Kansas City in February doing that and playing and trying to hopefully find someone that will take some of that workload off of us.
Right.
Because right now Anna books all the shows. I book some, but I'd rather just play and I'm not too concerned about shows.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like that's the motivating factor behind why you do what you do or whatever. But it just, to me, it makes me a little bit angry because it's like I see, you know, working at a radio station, you see all these promoters promoting these stupid, boring bands. And then you see somebody like you guys that, you know, you're just out there doing it all on your own. You obviously have a lot of fans. You have a lot of people that love you.
Maybe we're too political for the booking agents to sign on. I don't know. Sometimes we sing some, you know, we're pretty anti-fracking, anti-factory farming. We're over the whole oil thing. We were driving a bus that ran on veggie oil and
we're getting back to it.
And had solar
panels. Are you too radical for mainstream?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it seems like mainstream's heading that way too. There's plenty of awesome radical people that are successful.
Yeah.
We just need to be better. That's the whole thing.
No, forget that.
Just get
That's
better
ridiculous.
And better.
Speaking of political, you guys did put out a song that you sort of dedicate to the people at Standing Rock and people who are fighting that fight, which we're familiar with in this community as well. And what resonates with you about that movement? Why do you get behind it the way you do?
Everything about it. You know, it's close to home for us. We've had pipelines built in Arkansas that have exploded 5 miles from Joel's hometown. And, you know, people had to evacuate their homes, and it polluted the drinking water with tar sands, which you can't clean out of the water. It sinks to the bottom.
Central Arkansas has had a lot of fracking in the past 10 years. And I've just seen a lot of the negative effects from the fracking, contamination of the water, people's drinking water being ruined, and people getting sick, cancer, and just the general ugliness of it, you know, especially when we have such amazing alternatives. You guys here in Paonia, the Solar Institute is nearby. But I mean, even just building your building with passive, you know, solar, you know, spending less energy on heating and cooling and all that. It's all the options are out there. So it was very frustrating to see such a beautiful natural state where I grow up being destroyed just for greed and profit, because 99% of the natural gas in Central Arkansas, where I'm from, got exported out of the state, and a lot of it out of the country. So it was very, So I think it's just struck home with us. It's like, you know, whoa, we're seeing this firsthand. Let's do what we can to try to, you know, push us past this hurdle.
And I feel like the gas companies are trying to take advantage of the natives up there, because they tried to originally put that pipeline through a suburban area where a bunch of white people lived, and the people that lived there were like, we don't want this. They're like, oh, okay, well, we'll just put it through this Native American land, because they don't, you know, they don't have the same rights as the rest of the people.
We already stole the entire continent from them. Why not?
Right.
Why
like,
not just a little more? What's a little squish for?
It's become a civil rights issue, a human rights issue, and it's frustrating to watch it. And I'm really glad that it's gained momentum all over the internet, and people are speaking out about it, because it's a little ridiculous that we're still fighting this fight, you know?
And if you're just joining us, I'm here with Joel and Anna of Handmade Moments, and maybe you can play us a song that it's a new song too, right? And it's called Hole in the Ocean.
Yeah, this one's called Hole in the Ocean. Here we go.
Thank you. emotion that's growing and no one knows quite how to feel it.
All right. Wow. I love that one.
Thank you. Whew.
That got me like a little bit fired up.
Like, yay.
What do I do with myself right now?
It's me a little fired up too. Okay.
Have you guys been touring like pretty much nonstop since the accident, more or less?
No.
We had like 3 months of downtime.
Joel was non-weight-bearing in his hips for 3 months, so he was in a wheelchair. We didn't really tour when he was in the wheelchair. We still hung out in Nevada City, and we probably started playing shows a couple weeks of the end of the wheelchair times.
Yeah, nothing too far away from that area.
But nowhere where we couldn't drive home that night,
to
Nevada City. Once he started walking, we went up to Oregon and Southern California, did a couple, little runs.
We travel a lot, so once we started touring, we went up to Oregon all the way down to Southern California, which is a lot of driving. It's a lot of moving around.
California's huge.
California's huge, and we live in the eastern side of the state. We live in the Sierra Nevadas, really close to Nevada. And we would go to the Bay, which is like a 3-hour drive, and then up to Oregon, which is like a 6 or 8 hour drive, and then from Oregon all the way down to Southern California is probably like a 12 or 14 hour drive. So yeah, we did a lot of driving. We did a lot. We stayed on the West Coast, and we didn't make it up to Washington, but we did Portland and
Ashland. Ashland seems to really love you.
Oh, Ashland's rad.
Cool. Yeah.
That was the last performance we did on top of our bus before our wreck. So the bus we had a stage on the roof and solar panels, and the solar panels would come up so that we could play on the stage. And then the shows were powered from the solar panels. The shows that we played, we'd have speakers and it'd all be solar powered. So our last solar powered show that we played was in Ashland. On Mother's Day. And it was really a wonderful time. It was a fun show. And we just kind of showed up. And put on a show without asking anybody and just played by the park, and a bunch of people gathered and bought CDs and had a good time. So yeah, that was our last hurrah with that bus. But we're building a new bus. It'll be ready in a few months.
I think. All right.
So we're gonna come play y'all a show in Paonia sometime.
Yeah,
in the park.
Well, I love it that you guys keep us on your tour.
Of course.
And I feel like I'm kind of a super fan. And I'm sure you have others. Do you have any fans that kind of like creep you out?
More Anna. I don't get creeped out easily because I'm a creepy person myself. Like, I tend to creep other people out, so it's hard for me to get creeped out in general. Like right now, I'm wearing golden pants. They're corduroy velvet golden pants.
I know. I've noticed that you've really sort of you've dazzled up your
my look.
Yeah,
a little bit. And I'm wearing a. I don't know if this is real fur or not.
I think it's
faux fur vest. So yeah, Anna gets a lot of creepers. Mm. I'm like, oh, you're trying to creep on me? Cool. Somebody likes me. And
then
so,
if someone's trying to creep on me, Joel is just like laughing at them. You know, like, let's see where this is going to go. But it's never like.
He's never had to step between you and the creeps.
Not really. No.
No, she's pretty strong person.
He just isn't. Yeah.
Strong
he's just
personality.
He's just watching and laughing and being like, this guy.
Or girl.
Right. Or girl.
Last night, a woman kissed my hand,
an
older woman. I don't know how old, but I know she definitely had the senior discount. And it was. It's pretty awesome.
All right.
But no, we don't get creeped out easily. We have some super fans, but nobody's ever creeped us out.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you can't really complain about super fans.
No.
It's awesome.
Most of our super fans are really cool.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see them somewhere after a while, and they have like, they're like, oh, I've got all these awesome oils and stuff for you. We're like, hell yeah, cool.
All right. They're saving up stuff for your next visit.
Yeah, they're like, they want to stock us up with
cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
So the last time you guys were here, we shot a field session at the KVNF. Field sessions are a series of videos where we take bands out in some weird location and shoot a few songs out there. One of your field sessions has the most views of any of our. In fact, there's an ad on it now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I think they do that when, you know, when it's
making
a super
that money,
big deal.
Babe, making that money.
It has 12,000 views.
All right.
Yeah.
Aaliyah.
And that was for, Aaliyah. And it's one of my favorite field sessions that we did. It just turned out great.
It was badass. It was very fun.
Yeah, it was. And it just turned, again, timing, everything kind of worked out.
Oh, yeah.
And it barely worked out because you guys had to kind of, I don't know, pull
We hitchhiked
some
to that show.
We had to hitchhike, yeah, all day
that
long.
That was a hitchhiking tour because our car broke down in what was that town, that weird town where everyone breaks down?
It was near Frisco. And it was like 10 a.m. and we're like, let's hitchhike. Yeah. The only time is now.
It was Dillon. It was the town of Dillon.
Dillon, yeah, Dillon, Colorado.
But we broke down like 200 miles east of there.
Oh, yeah.
And then got a tow because we had a 200-mile tow on our insurance to Dillon. We're like, all right, let's just go as far as we can west, you know, with this tow.
And the place that they towed us to wouldn't work on our truck because it was an old Volkswagen diesel rabbit pickup. And this guy's like, I'm not going to mess with that. But the guy next door to him, and this like who they shared a parking lot, was like, I used to have rabbits. I can work on that. I love
Perfect.
Those cars. So then we left it with him, and we hitchhiked to Paonia, and we made it here early.
We actually made it early. We should hitchhike to every gig because we were early for that.
And you could save some money on
gas
that way.
I think so. But we also had some crazy rides. There was one woman who was another healer woman mm-hmm. who was like, I'm a healer. I'm an energy worker. And then she got on the phone. And she was like, she did what? I'll kill her.
Yelling at someone on the phone while we're in the car.
We're like, whoa, energy vibes.
Angry
yeah.
healers. You got to look out for those
gotta
guys.
Look out for them, man.
Right.
So Whew. A lot of people are going through a sort of period of, you know, the five stages of grief or something based on this last election. Mm. And even people who, it doesn't matter who you voted for. The world's a kind of crazy place right now. What do you think, as far as music goes, what do you, what's been helping you guys through all of that?
I just want to give a shout out to our friend who's also a singer-songwriter, John Craigie. He wrote a song about that recently, about how, you know, someone was like, is there any light to shed at this time? And he was like, well, whenever Republicans are in the office, there's better music. You know?
Yeah, he was like, whenever artists have, you know, whenever it's a nice president that maybe they politically are aligned with, they're not quite as inspired. So when times are rough, musicians have to work harder. And
there's good songs.
Good music comes out.
But when times are easy, you know, but people aren't writing as good songs.
I do want to say that, you know, even though we're switching to from a very outwardly looking, cool black president who's hip and speaks well, and isn't racist to an obvious racist white guy that's old. I will still say I don't really see that much changing. We're still currently bombing 7 countries right now. And Obama hasn't stopped that. You know, the pipeline is Obama could probably end all the.
Oh, he could do that.
The pain that's going on in Standing Rock. So, you know, as much as we're all, oh, dang it, Trump, you know, Trump's coming. Obama could have stopped the wars, and he could have pushed us to a more sustainable future and gotten us further away from oil. I still think that we're most of the politicians, by the time they get up to being elected to president, they're pretty much bought out. And I think that's been the way always. So maybe JFK was different, but it seems like for the most part, every president has been like a puppet for our American war and oil machine and the whole capitalist movement. And the largest genocide in world history, and the Native Americans in this country we live on, and the ground I'm standing on right now is not ours. You know, we stole this. We killed and stole it, this entire country, this entire continent. So, you know, as much as it's scary to have an obvious bigot, maybe at least it'll wake some people up to say, oh, yeah, this is a country founded on white supremacy and founded on rape and pillaging the people and the earth. So it didn't surprise me, and it keeps me inspired. I was inspired while we were, you know, in the past 8 years I've been inspired because I didn't think Obama did enough to fix the problems of the world, and I don't think Trump will do enough either. So it's up to us.
But at least people are getting fired up and finally, you know, caring.
Yeah, like a lot of my black friends and Native American friends, they're not fazed at all by Trump presidency. They're like, are you serious? It's been 500 years of this. This doesn't surprise us at all. So I think yeah, obviously it sucks. You know, nobody wants an obvious racist as their to represent them and their country. But it could be a guy who pretends like he's not racist and still bombs people of another country and of another culture, another color. And it doesn't matter who's if it's a white face or a black face. We're still bombing 7 countries right now. None of them have been approved by Congress. We're still taking land away from the natives. We're still living on native land. So, yeah. constantly inspired.
It's, you guys don't get, you're not very political.
Thank you.
And I'm here with Handmade Moments. And by the time you hear this, you missed their show. Or maybe you went to it at the Revolution Brewery in Paonia. But they come through every now and then. Probably like we get to see you once a year.
Yeah.
We're going to come back in March. So we don't have a date hooked up yet, though, because we're coming through. We're going to do an Eastern tour where we play New Orleans and Miami and everything in between that and Arkansas, where we live. And then we'll be heading back to California for some shows in April. So we have to come through Colorado on our way.
So we'll definitely come to Pionia.
March, we'll come back and play for you guys.
Duh.
We haven't booked anything yet, but March, we'll
be
back.
It's going to happen. Well, I love having you here, and I guess we'll go out with one more song.
Yeah.
All right.
This was a special request, and this is a song we wrote. This actually was inspired when we were living in Arkansas, whenever factory farming was a big deal. Cargill was putting a big hog farm on the Buffalo National River, which is the first national river of the United States. And a lot of people were standing up, and they got it stopped, but it's coming back, and it's
still
just
there.
It's a
constant battle.
It's the same thing as Standing Rock, where they build all the infrastructure before they even get it approved. So this one is a song we wrote for that, but I want to dedicate it to all the folks at Standing Rock because it's about and for the water.
And it's the first song that we co-wrote together. It's the first song that we co-wrote lyrics to. And it's about protecting the water. And here we go. It's called Bubbling Water. Here we go. One, two, one, two, three.
Lay me down by that bubbling water like my father and father's father. This world was made by us working people, not the evil banker man. Lay me down by that bubbling water like my mother and mother's mother. If we can't learn to just love each other, we won't have each other anymore. They will try to freeze your broken heart. They will try to tear us all apart. While I'd say they've got a damn good start, I'm singing loud and I'm singing proud. So lay me down by that bubbling water like my father and father's father. This world was made by us working people, not the evil banker man. Come together for this revolution. Are you part of the problem or the solution? And don't forget about that Constitution, protecting freedom and our rights. Education, that's our greatest armor. That factory farmer is out to harm us. And know the power of your hands and dollars. If we save the water, we'll save ourselves. They will try to freeze our broken heart. They will try to tear us all apart. While I'd say they've got a damn good start, I'm singing loud and I'm singing proud. So lay me down by that bubbling water like my father and father's father. This world was made by us working people, not the evil banker man. Education, that's our greatest armor. That factory farmer is out to harm us. And know the power of your hands and dollars. If we save the water, we'll save ourselves. If we save the water, we'll save ourselves. If we save the water, we'll save ourselves.
You've been listening to Handmade Moments on Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Thank you for tuning in.